Congregation, the text for the special service, preparatory service, is from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 5th verse. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So far. The necessity to examine ourselves if we are in Christ. That's the theme this morning. The necessity of examining ourselves if we are in Christ. Three thoughts. Called to examine ourselves. Our text is, examine yourselves while you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. Secondly, if we are in Christ by faith. In Christ by faith. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. And in the third place, of utmost necessity, except ye be reprobates. How serious. So again, the necessity to examine ourselves if we are in Christ. Called to examine ourselves if we are in Christ by faith. Of utmost necessity. Congregation, the Apostle Paul had a hard time. He was criticized by the Corinthians. They pointed fingers and said, "You, Paul," and he took it hard. Had to defend himself. Wrote a letter the third time. He had only two letters to the Corinthians. There's probably one that is lost, for it's not the will of the Spirit to have it in the canon. He comes the third time and is defending himself. What was the problem? Well, they said, "You're so weak. You're not a leader. You're so easygoing. You should have more authority, be strong and powerful. You're a weak person." They had no respect for him. And others said, "Your appearance, you look ugly, you're not a man." And others said, "Your speech is contemptible, you're not a writer, but you're not a speaker at all. You can't listen to this, your voice is contemptible." And they criticized him for that. But especially they doubted his calling to the ministry. "Are you an apostle of Jesus Christ?" And the Apostle Paul had to defend himself and speak well of the Lord. And said, "Yes, I'm weak. But in my weakness is power. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was weak as well and was crucified." Look at verse 4. "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." "I'm weak, but I'm strong." He defends himself. And also, in verse 3, Since ye seek a proof of Christ, speak in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. The Apostle Paul criticized for different reasons, and coming back with this, examine your own self. You talk about me in my sermons, in my speech, in appeals, in weakness, in authority. Look at yourself. Examine your own selves. Your own selves, he repeats. Also this morning, we have something to say about him and her and this person and that sermon, that minister and that elder. And we criticize and point fingers and say you and they and she. Oh, it's always someone else, right? So, underlining, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. May that be true this morning in God's house. Examining our own selves. Why our own selves? Well, who else knows what's in our hearts? Who else knows the deep recesses within? Who knows our desires and secret sins and feelings and experiences? Nobody else can judge with ourselves. Examine your own selves. The minister cannot do that. The parents cannot. God's people cannot do that. You have to do it yourself. Examine your own self. It's your responsibility, not mine. I have to preach the word in truth and faithful and balanced and full counsel of God, but it's you judging, not me. If you choose the right to come to the Lord's Supper table, we won't keep you back. But if you have a divine right, that's your responsibility. Examine your own selves. So nobody else can do that. And yet they are so biased, right? That actually also the worst person doing it is so prejudiced, so biased, so this emphasis on that, do it objectively, biblically, seriously, examine your own selves. He repeats himself, prove your own selves. Please do that. It's your responsibility. It's your calling to examine, to prove. What does he mean with examine? Let me just explain this and give you a few examples of daily life about examination. Think of school, exams in school. You have to write them down. It's quiet in the room. Give these pieces of paper and questions. You need to answer all those questions and fill all those blanks. You examine, you get an examination, and it will be handed in. And they look at it, if you fail or not. Do you know it? Do you fail? Or Do you know things? Do you know those things you need to know sufficiently? So this morning, you're writing a test in God's house. It's an examination. You have to examine your own selves and fill out the blanks and say, Lord, yes, no, check mark here, check mark there, and then hand it in to the Lord. Lord, I examine my own heart. This is honest, I'm objective, I try to be. So do you know those things this morning? Be honest to yourself. Examine your own selves. Prove your own self. Or think of a court case. That's serious. Some lawyers, persecutors, cross-examining, trying to catch in a lie, trying to find something that's not consistent, and then say, yes, you're lying, I caught you and corner you. Examine your own selves, be hard yourself, cross, examine your own heart and say, Lord, I need to know. I'm such a deceiver, I'm such a liar. Lord, may I cross, examine my own heart. So it requires honesty and persistence and motivation to say, I need to know the truth. I have to go to the bottom of it. Think of visiting a country. You go to Holland or to Belgium or to Europe or to the States or to Bolivia. And you have a guide and a map. And you say, I would like to see it. I'd like to go to Amsterdam and to Rotterdam and to Utrecht, and I go to see those cathedrals and those mills. I want to see it all. And you examine things, and you search things out, and you prove things, and you see it with your own eyes. You go on the towers, you climb, and you go to the valleys, you go to the south, to the north. You go all over the place, because you don't want to waste your time. And so this morning hour, go through your own heart and life. Go from the south to the north to all those cities and towers and recesses. Examine your own selves. Think of buying a new car or a used car. You go to the parking lot, the car lot, and you look and you inspect. You walk around the car, any scratch, any damage, you look at it, but also you test drive it, right? Not only looking and examining outwardly, we'd like to sit in the chair and feel it and go on the road and feel it. If you can drive it, if you like it, you ask a mechanic to have a look at it, examine your own heart. Is that needed? Yes, it is. Deceitful is the heart. And we read also in the previous chapter, actually in 11, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We can be genuine and still wrong. We can be seriously minded and still miss something. The ship can look good. There might be yet a leak in there. So it is realistic to do that. Nobody is perfect. Him that thinketh, he standeth. Take heed lest he fall. And how often the Lord Jesus Christ warned in his parables about the almost Christian building on the sand, having the wrong garment on, seed falling in stony places, with the thorns. So often the Lord Jesus has warned all the people of Israel traveled from Egypt to Canaan, and so few arrived in the land. As examples, watch and pray. Judge your own selves. Could you promise me this morning to do that? Honestly. To say, yes, I will do that. I will just have a close look at myself and test drive myself and cross examine my own self. Examine your own self. It's a calling. Brings to the next thought. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self? Know you not your own self? Do you know yourself? How that Jesus Christ is in you? Well, the profound text. Let's go over that. Whether ye be in the faith. Oh, I believe, you say. I believe in the Bible. I believe in creation. That's good. Let's go over that. When the Lord gives faith, what do we believe? It's believing in that God exists. Do you believe that? That God exists? Did he become a reality? Did he become majestic and holy and righteous and good? So that God was a God to seek, to be reconciled with. Someone who sees you, follows you, judges you. When the Lord applies his word, then God becomes so real, so experiential, that I can't go around anymore. It's on my mind. God exists. God becomes God. You begin to see that God has made us in his image. You're reminded of that. You begin to believe that. God made us whole and righteous and in knowledge and in justice. God made us good. He looked upon us, it was very good. And you see the state of rectitude in your heart. The state of rectitude. You see that and you miss it now. You begin to believe in your total corruption. You begin to see that you don't only do sin, but that you are sin. Are you checkmarking? You're answering the questions. Examine yourselves. Do you know this? Your total corruption? That everything is wrong within? That's evil? Born in sin? So humble to the dust? Do you believe that or not? In your total corruption? God shall believe that. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Faith in creation. Faith in rectitude. Faith in corruption. Do you know that you cannot possibly help yourself? Have you become a hopeless person, desperate, not able to change it, so completely dependent upon the Lord? Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't help myself. I cannot forgive myself. I cannot save myself. I cannot come closer to the Lord. So helpless, so poor and needy. You are in the faith. Have you heard that possibility of being saved? And you were encouraged by that. And you saw with delight, I can be saved. It is possible. I don't have it, but I see it is possible. Such a holy God can be so tender, so gracious, so merciful. And you saw it. You went home from church and you said, I've seen something of the goodness and of the possibility of being saved. Be in the faith. And you saw something more. You saw that God has sent his only Son to save a people from their sins. You saw a little bit of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, you saw his name, Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. It was so dear to your heart. You saw that and you fled. You came to the Savior Jesus Christ and you looked upon him that served in the wilderness. Or you saw your hell-worthiness, but also those outstretched arms of the Savior Jesus Christ, and there was faith in the faith. You know, you can have all the knowledge and all the impressions and all the seriousness and all the soundness. What counts is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him must believe. Do you have that faith? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not be able to say, I have him, I am assured of everything, I'm all okay. No, seek your salvation outside of self in another, in that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, revealing himself in the Word. That faith. Remember that woman with the issue of blood. See that faith? She was so sick and so weak and so pale and so powerless, but she said, if I only touch the hem of that garment, I will be whole. She knew that. She believed that. If I only touch the hem of the garment, test yourself. Tempt yourself, we can translate. Be hard on yourself. Give an honest answer to this. Are you in the faith, following the Lamb of God, hearing his voice, seeing something of that high majesty, being so tender and kind? And then all the doubts sometimes disappear. Examine yourselves, have you been in the faith? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Have you looked into the mirror and seen your own self? How ugly, how disappointing, how cursed, how dead, how unworthy, and lowered yourself to the ground, say, Lord, oh, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can I escape that well-deserved punishment? Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? How that Jesus Christ is in you? Not on your lips. You can sing of Jesus whatever you want, sing from the top of your lungs, but is he in you? But on your lips, is he in you? Is he in your head? You can think of him and talk about him and dogmatize about him, but is he in you? You can do things with your hands for him, but is he in you? The Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. Christ, Messiah, anointed one, prophet, priest, and king, the Savior Jesus Christ, is he in you? Are you a temple of the Holy Ghost? but also are you united with the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you eat him? Is he in you? Did you swallow it, the bread? Is it now in you? This is my body broke for you. Eat and drink. So God's children do not only see something, they eat him and they become united with him through faith in him. That's crucial, right? That's the close of God's people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need so much knowledge of your misery that you cannot live without the Savior anymore. You can have panic, you can have anxiety attacks, you can be so down, you can be so hell-worthy, have the lowest thoughts of self, but if you have not the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is not in you, it's all in vain. It's not enough. The reason the Lord gives knowledge of misery is to drive you out into him, that only Savior, Jesus Christ. Is he in you? You say, he was. I've seen him. The doors of my heart were opened. He came in. I have had times that I was united with the Lord Jesus Christ. The time that I could say, yes, I cannot deny that. And I checkmarked it and said, Lord, honestly, there was something like I've seen in my own heart. But now it can be so dark, right? So dark again. And God's children look at their heart and they say, where is he? It sometimes looks and feels as he has left. But if he has been there, he will stay there. It might be dark, you may not see him. He is faithful to his own work. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He will not forsake the works of his own hands. He is still the same yesterday, today, forever. And the Lord wants his people to see more of him. And that's why the Lord has instituted the Lord's Supper, to show his people, I'm still the same. I in you, and you in me. Have you become an unworthy, hell-worthy sinner? Do you know your own selves? And have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ in faith? And did you touch him? Did you eat the bread? And were you unified with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord's Supper is meant for those that eat him, that are in him, and he is in them. You can also turn it around. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, and you in him. You in him. Think the ark. Ark of Noah. I see some people look at the ark Noah's building and they say, that's quite a boat. That's quite a ship. So there's room there. It's awesome. We love it. Noah, doing a good job. Someday we also would like to be in the ark. And they praise the ark for the special wood and design and size. It will float, it will be good. They talk about the ark and praise the ark. And then the floods come and they are not in the ark. And they drown. You can praise and talk about Jesus Christ and say, look at him, he is the Savior, but are you in him? And is he in you? That's the question. God's children are sometimes overjoyed and see the Savior Jesus Christ. To examine your own selves. Let me help you with some marks. The Canons of Dort, on page 99, I believe it is. First chapter, article 12. Remarkable. The elect in due time, God's time, but in various degrees and in different measures. There's difference, some have more, some have less of assurance. Attain the assured eternal and unchangeable election, not by inquisitively prying into the secret and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves. You hear that? Observing in themselves with a spiritual joy. It's not just math. It's not just making up your mind. Finding, observing yourself is spiritual joy and holy pleasure. What a holy pleasure to see that. The infallible fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God. So God's children differ. They come to assurance in due time when they have that holy pleasure, when they see with delight those points in the Word. What points, minister? Now listen. Such as, many of those marks, such as a true faith in Christ. That's number one. Filial fear, that is childlike fear, as a child, humble fear, a godly sorrow for sin, that contrition, the remorse of the heart, that broken heart and contrite spirit, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness and holiness. So it is quite something. And it says, etc. So examine your own heart. And why is that faith, the true faith in Christ mentioned first? Because that's the clearest mark. Alexander Comrie said the best mark of grace is this, that highly esteeming of the second person. If you long for him, that you desire him, say, Lord Jesus, Son of David, deliver me. A mark of grace. And be careful. Those marks are there to help God's people, not to discourage them. They're not conditions. It's not so you say, I have to have this and I have to have that, and then add it all up and see if I measure up, and then go to the supper table as someone who has in his pockets. No, it is for the poor ones, for the needy ones. I cannot deny those things. Examine your own selves. When you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, you know him? Crucified through weakness in the human body, but also rose again, yet he liveth by the power of God. Does that cross, Lord Jesus Christ, speak to your heart? Some people have a cross around their neck. Some have a cross in their ears. But do you have that cross in your heart? Makes it so much easier when you have a cross on your back. There is people that have a cross in their hearts, and they come back to that. Jesus Christ crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. Simon, Simon, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Can you answer that question as well tonight, this morning? Lovest thou him? Does your heart go out to him? Do you believe in him? Do you seek your salvation only in him as a loss in yourself? Examine yourselves, be honest. Is he alive and real? Do you pray? Do you read him? Do you try to find more of him in the scriptures? How close are you to the Savior Jesus Christ? There is no other name given among men by whom we must be saved. The necessity of examining ourselves. Whether Christ is in us. What an utmost necessity to do this. Our third thought. What does Paul mean? Except ye be reprobates. What is a reprobate? Well, the word means failing the test. So except you fail the test, examine your own selves, whether Christ is in you, except you fail. I hope you won't fail the test. And he used the word also in the next two verses, a play of words. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. You come to the conclusion that we as apostles are not failing the test. Do you fail the test? Your opinion, we failed the test, right? But do you fail the test? And in verse 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil, nor that we should be approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. So you say, we failed the test. Do you fail the test? What an urgent thing to fail the final test. Right? You go for your driver's license, if a test. You fail, you come home, you almost cry. I failed the test, I hate it, I would like to drive my car. And you can't yet. No driver's license so far, you have to do it again. That's fine. But failing this test, the final test, there's no repeat possible. You cannot do it over, it's final. And then fall into the hands of the living God, right? Let me try to drive it home from Scripture. King Belshazzar, he saw those words on the wall, right? Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And tekel means, but weight in the balances. And are found wanting. Is that the conclusion this day, this week? Weighting God's balances, and the Lord says, not enough, you failed the test, that is a reprobate. But think about it, about deceiving yourself. Go to the Lord's supper table, deceiving yourself and then continuing on and not examining your heart, and then someday stand for the Lord and hear Matthew 7, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. You attend the Lord's supper table, but I was not in you. You're not in me. I never, ever knew you. Depart from me. Go, creating distance. Ye that work iniquity, you did not hate sin. You're holding on to some sins. You did not let go. You loved sin. Your boat is leaking. Depart from me, except ye be reprobates. Or Matthew 25. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verily, amen. I know you not. I don't know you. Does he know you in that special sense? And do you know him? Have you met him? Has he become real? Has he been revealed to your heart? The Lord Jesus Christ. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Awful. Not examining yourself is dangerous. You have to. It's urgent. It's a must. You can't afford failing the test, the final test. Do it now then. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Thinking they will let you in, and the doors will be opened, and you knock and knock, and it's closed, it remains closed, except you reprobate. You know the driver's test, or if you go bankrupt, you make some mistakes, you can try to make some money again, and do well in business, as I said before. You miss the course, fail the course, you can do the course over again. But this is final. What do you say to me this morning? You say, I'm afraid. I've deceived myself. I don't know about those things. I think I made a mistake? Well, that's possible. Thank you for being so honest with yourself. But the door of God's grace is still open. For people that have deceived themselves so far and now become honest, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. No, you cannot make anything of it anymore. I have advice. Advice for those who are confused. I look back, try to make the test and fill out the blanks, and I fail. I'm afraid I fail. What do I do? Advice, start all over. As if nothing has ever happened before. Dus put all that aside and say, Lord, I can't make anything of it. Just put it on the side. And say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and seek your salvation not on the basis of what you have experienced before, but what the Lord has said in his word. It is still the acceptable time. What does that mean? Acceptable time, the time that God still accepts people? No. Well, that's not what it means. He does. Acceptable means something else. That's a translation where it also can be translated as beautiful or pleasant. It's pleasant time, time of grace, acceptable time to yet seek the Lord and find him. Congregation, examine. It's not my command. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you reprobate. Also unconverted ones, go over the list. What you miss, I miss this, I miss that, I miss so, I miss such. And see how you fail the test, bring before the Lord. Lord, I cannot attend the Lord's Supper, I may not. I fail the test and seek the Lord that he may make you real and give you that sorrow and give you that knowledge and give you that hunger. And give you that urgency in your heart. Give you that prayer and supplication. He gives you that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are glad. When we are weak, he is strong. Verse 9. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Your salvation. We wish your salvation. We don't want you to deceive yourself. Reverend, you say. You create doubts in a sermon like that. Instead of lifting people up, you question people's faith and they go home discouraged. An example for you, children, young friends. You're hiking the mountains. You're on the trail. You plan to go from that place to that place. You found it on the map. You're somewhere in the middle, the group of people. And you think, is this the right direction? Did you go wrong? Are we lost? Oh, don't think about that. Don't think about the positive. Just walk. Don't think, don't doubt. And you try to suppress your doubt. But it's not nice. Not a nice walk anymore. There's some darkness. You're suppressing the doubts. I want to be right. I don't want to be lost. Is it no better to stand still? And to get the map out of your backpack? And the compass? And discuss it? Where's the sun? Where's the west? Where's the altitude? But where's that gully? And oh yeah, now I see it, there you are. You're on the right track. And you smile and you sing and you continue on because you have dared to think about the possibility of deceiving yourself. So questioning yourself helps God's people in their doubts to find out the truth. That's not to create doubts. It is to help them. So also that reason, examine yourselves. Amen. Almighty and all-sufficient Lord, in thy goodness, we could listen to thy word. It was explained, but O Lord, apply by thy spirit to the heart, and may we truly prove our own selves. and be led to the Lord Jesus Christ and find some comfort in his wounds, in his cross, crucified in weakness, but still he rose, he is alive, at the right hand of the Father, exalted on high, still alive to work the works of salvation. May we seek our salvation more and more in him, whom thou hast given to seek, seeking the lost. We thank thee for the help. Bless thy word. Help us also the rest of this day. Help the elder officiating also today, the elders officiating. In Jesus' name alone, amen.